This morning, Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13, the precept of men. Isaiah 29, 13. Wherefore the Lord said, "For as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me." And then he said something very interesting. He said, "And their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men." And I found that over all of these years that most of the precepts of God are taught by men, including the fear of God. And so I ask you today, is all you know of God of man? You see, a true relationship with God is a personal relationship. It's not simply hearing, else all you have is a precept of man. Now, how does faith come? It comes by hearing, of course. And how shall they hear without a preacher? But many hear, and most don't get, you see. Even so-called born again receive such by precepts which men have devised. Jonah said, "Salvation is of the Lord." And I'm here to tell you that's the truth. Salvation is of the Lord, not by the precepts of men. We're told in 2 Corinthians 13:5 to examine yourself. That's you. God says now, it's you and God. It's me and God. Not this preacher, not this priest, not my wife, not the deacons and the elders of the church. It's me and God. Examine yourself whether Christ be in you. And only you and God know that, you see. Upon hearing, upon truly hearing the word of God, a man that has received that thing supernaturally, he'll cry, "What must I do to be saved?" The preacher doesn't have to tell him this. The Ethiopian eunuch, Philip went to him, he joined him in his chariot. And he didn't say, "Now look, here, if you'll just ask Jesus, if you'll just say this prayer, if you'll..." No, he didn't say any of that. And so they head off down the road, and the eunuch says, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" You see? It was of the Lord. It was between the eunuch and God. Just like the jailer that we spoke of, the Philippian jailer. Paul didn't holler out and say, the jailer said, "What must I do to be saved?" You see, there's a linear belief, and then there's a spiritual belief. Now, I find most today to be what you might call line upon line and precept upon precept. You turn back a chapter, Isaiah chapter 28, we're told of this. Verse 13, Isaiah 28, 13. He said, "But the word of the Lord was unto them, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken." And that's the way most are. This Bible becomes just line upon line and precept upon precept and line upon line and precept upon precept. And it just becomes a printed word on a printed page, you see. And the enemy can and does use this thing. He used it on the Lord Jesus Christ himself in the temptation. But he used it as line upon line and precept upon precept, like the building, you remember, of the temple. And they followed this plan. But that temple was but a type of the true temple, the cornerstone of Jesus Christ. And so all these things were a build-up to the actual, to the indwelling of the Holy Ghost, when Christ said, "I won't leave you alone, I'll leave you the Comforter." He even used it on Eve. Line upon line, precept upon precept. There's a linear belief and there's a spiritual belief. Now, I want you to hear me this morning. I, me, I'm using first person. I've a spiritual discernment only known by the Holy Ghost. And I don't say that pridefully or haughtily. I say it most humbly. I speak such of experience of the indwelling of the Holy Ghost. When Christ came down, so to speak, and he moved in to this mortal body. No, you're not. Your body's temple of the Holy Ghost. And only you can know that. Only the individual can know that. I have an unction, an understanding that a natural man does not have. And the more we go into these latter days, the more I see that. Every day, I read the events of the day and I go, we should fall on our face and thank God that we have an understanding that others don't have. To the one, the word is, as I said, it's just print on a page. But to the other, it's a living God. Look at verse 11 in our text of chapter 29 of Isaiah. And the vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I cannot. Why? It's sealed. You know why most men can't read the Word of God, truly? It's sealed. It's sealed only to all but the elect of God. Last Sunday, now, some of you missed it, we had a three-hour service here. 3 hours. We started at 11 a.m. and we got out of here about 2. 3 hours. I'd wonder how many today could endure such. A three-hour church service. To those that were in attendance, it was a glorious experience. We had three sermons by three men of, called men of God. We had an hour song service. I think we sang for about an hour. Well, how can that be? You see, that thing sealed the most. It can only be not by the letter, but by the Spirit. Not line upon line and precept upon precept. This pastor that's had these prophetic dreams, some of you have seen at least the first one where he speaks, but he's had a more recent dream, this pastor in Kentucky. And he talked about those in church. He said in his dream there were many in the church, and he said most of them, they were fidgeting. They were asleep or fidgeting or, they weren't there. They were only there in person, you might say. He said, now there was a select few on the front, and they were in that thing. And they always are, you see. Those most that go to church is by what you might call contrition. Well, I've got to go to church or die, I might go to hell. You know? And they nod and sleep through the service as a duty. And he declared in his dream, his prophetic dream, which is for today, he said, it wasn't those rioters out there that turned us into the judges and the magistrates. It was those who were asleep in church, those who are religious, but they don't have the indwelling of the Holy Ghost of God. You see, they hate the true believers. Because they declare their falseness, their untruthfulness, you see. They hate those that relish church, who love truth, who in truth would meet every night if able. And they'd meet for 3 hours every Sunday. Might go all day. Paul preached all night. The true church always goes where truth is spoken. Isn't it a natural thing? It's a supernatural thing. It's to them as secular social activities are to the world. Why, men, they'll get on that, they'll fly to where the big game is. They'll make hotel reservations and stay and do all these things. A man of God will do that for the truth. And it's the nature of the heart. You see, men are always drawn to their loves. Where is your love? They always are. It's not hard to see. Turn to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, let's start in verse 57. Read the remainder of the chapter. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. I've heard that so many times. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. A natural, reasonable request, wouldn't you say? And Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I'll follow thee, but let me first go and bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. That's the way it is. Once you find that pearl of great price, you'll even give up family for it. You give up all. Everything you've got. Look in the next chapter there, Luke chapter 10, when the Lord came to Mary and Martha's house, the sisters of Lazarus. Verse 38, Luke, starting in Luke 38 to the end of the chapter. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. Oh, we've so many in our midst that are careful and troubled about so many things. He said, but one thing is needful, just one, but one thing is needful, and Mary, who sat at Jesus' feet, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. When Brother Robert spoke last week, he was our third speaker, and he spoke of John 6:53. Turn over there. Let's look at it again. John 6:53. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. And when he spoke those words, it touched my heart. And I felt the power of the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost revived me. But who can do such? If you look at verse 60, there in John chapter 6, many therefore of his disciples, when they'd heard this, said, "This is an hard saying. Who can hear it?" Do you see that? This is a hard saying. Who can hear it? I'll tell you from many, many years of experience, few. Very, very few. Now, why is that? Because they've heard line upon line and precept upon precept. And they've received the gospel, you might say, as a precept of man. Because they receive it in the flesh from flesh. Jeremiah says, "Cursed are those that put their trust in the arm of man." And they'll follow and they'll obey, but only by the precepts of man. But you see, if you look there in John 6, go to verse 66. And this is what takes hold. "From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him." I know of several large churches here in town. And they're almost like a place of business, not a place of worship. And the congregation's always turning over. Brother David spoke last week of the many that are turning over down in Mexico, and some follow this man and some follow this man. And they'll stay there a while and they'll follow. I used to call them gospel blackbirds. And they'll flock over here, and then they'll hear something new, and they'll flock over here. I've got a message like that. I haven't preached it yet. What went ye out to see? A reed shaken in the wind, the Lord said. Listen, I've been in church services where for the first hour and 45 minutes, we stood. We stood for almost 2 hours. And the pastor, the preacher of that service, he apologized and said, "I forgot to tell you, you could sit down." But we never noticed. I've been to a funeral that was 3 hours. It was a most glorious thing, even for a funeral. To show my stamina, to show how religious I am, to show line upon line and precept. No, it's where my heart desired to be. I tithe. Those of you know me. And I get paid, I don't know, two or three. I don't even know. Melissa tells me when they, because everything's direct deposit today. And you got paid. And then, you got paid. And I tithe that money. That is the first tenth, actually. I'd give more than the tenth, I think, to the Lord. To show my faithfulness? No. Now listen, do you hear that? Am I here this morning to show my faith? No. No, I'm not. It's where I want to be. You know why I tithe? It's what I want to do. It's what I desire to do. It's my nature to give that to God. Would it not be your nature if you borrowed from a neighbor or you had something for your neighbor? Would it not be your nature but to give that thing back to your neighbor? If his dog wanders in your yard, you're going to keep your neighbor's dog? No, it doesn't belong to you. It belongs to him. And the first tenth belongs to God. It's his. And it's the desire of my heart to give it to him. To give him what belongs to him. Oh, I belong to him. Amen. Amen. You see? Same reason I'm before you at this hour. It's my desire. And it have to be, because there's just a few of us. And I don't take monetary gain to do this. It's my calling. It's what God called me to do. Ah, calling, you say. Well, many are called, few are chosen. But you see, there's an effectual calling, a drawing. Jesus said, my Father will draw them that are his. An effectual draw. Not by the letter, not precepts of men, not precept upon precept, line upon line, but by the Holy Spirit of God. How can I describe that which men see not? Or how can I speak of that that men cannot hear? I cannot. I can tell you that Jesus in Luke 13:5, he told him, he turned, he said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And yet most I know, even some perhaps in our own men, they're hanging on. And they've got a grip on this life. And they've got a grip on this world. And they've got a grip on their natural feelings. It's the desire of their heart. And if you keep hanging on, you'll never hear or see these things. Let go. Let go. Too many are yet burying their dead. And they're entertaining family and friends. And they won't come out from among them. And yet Christ said, they of your own household shall be your enemies. He said, you love father and mother more than me, you're not going to make it. You love your wife more, you're not going to make it. Let go! Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. But you won't let go. You will not let go. You will not eat his flesh nor drink his blood. And that's what he spoke of. By the way, that has nothing to do with wine and wafers. Okay? When he spoke, you must eat the flesh and drink the blood of the Son of Man, that has nothing to do with what we call communion or Holy Communion or the Mass or any of the rest of that today. Those are all precepts of men. The apostles never did it like that. They never did. If you believe that wine and wafers ensure your salvation, you'll end up in a burning fiery hell. It's far more. It's all. It's what he gave. What ensures my salvation is the wind bloweth where it listeth. That's what ensures my salvation. That effectual wind that comes across a child of God. Not precepts of men. Now you've heard. Now what are you going to do with it? How did it affect you? Perhaps didn't affect. Well, that's a good sermon. Yes, amen. That's good, brother. But that's but line upon line and precept upon precept. I could easily preach the precepts of men. We could grow. Men have told me you could grow. Yes, I can grow the church. Just like men take steroids or lift weights to build up their body. but it goes away, it'll kill you. Because it's dead. It's the precept of man. True religion. Undefiled religion. The wind bloweth where it listeth. What must I do to be saved? Say, here's water. Could you baptize me? You don't have to tell a man of God to tithe. You don't have to tell him to go to church. You don't have to tell him to move where truth is. You don't have to tell him any of those things. Because it's his nature.